You know, Brother Danny said tonight, as he talked about our world in his prayer, it's getting worse and worse. We think about that sometimes, don't we? And here we are in this world that we live in, this great country that America, and we wonder what's going to happen to us, where we're going. And I think about long ago, in the time of Lot, when he lived in Sodom and Gomorrah, the Bible talks about him living there in 2 Peter chapter 2. It talks about and delivered just Lot, vexed with a filthy conversation of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them, in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. And friends, as we live in our world today, we see many unlawful deeds. But do we still have a righteous soul? Are we still righteous? Tonight we're going to talk about blessed assurance. We're going to talk about being righteous and doing what is right. And do we have assurance? How many times do we think people talk to us about Christmas? You say, well, we feel like, well, I have a hope. I feel pretty good about my eternal salvation. But how many times do we feel like Paul said, I bet it will be off at the time by the parties in hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, maybe, is that what he said? Possibility? He said, there is, didn't he, brother? There is. There is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. There is. Paul, you mean you just openly said that and you hadn't even faced the Lord in judgment yet, and you said that about him and saying how he will judge you? Paul sure said that. And not for the Lord, he says, but unto all those that love his appearing. Love his appearing. Lot lived in those cities, his righteous soul bothered by their sinful deeds. Does sin still bother you? Have you gotten used to sin? Does it still bother you to hear people curse and swear? Use God's name in vain? I don't know of anything that bothers me more than to hear somebody use God's name in vain. That is so sad. Yeah, you know, I thought we all could understand somebody stealing if they were hungry. I'm not saying they make it right. But to use God's name in vain. What worse sin? That's so sad. And there Lot was living there, and there we live today, in this land that we lived in, that we live in right now. We don't need to get accustomed to sin. We don't need to get used to sin. Just take it lightly. Just kind of brush over it and think it's not that bad. You know, in fact, Peter describes sin as a dog turning to his own vomit. You ever seen that? I've seen that. I kept my grandchildren's little dogs a couple of years ago, and a little girl that they got, and she's a sweet little dog, but she loves to eat, and she'd eat that food that day. I went away, and she'd eat it fast, and she'd throw it up and eat it again. And you know, you remember what the Bible says, the dog turns to his own vomit. The father's watched us warring in the mind. So that's the way God sees sin. We don't see sin that way many times. Because we see so much of it. And that's sad. We don't get used to sin. But don't say everybody sins when you sin. Don't say that about that. Everybody sins. No, don't brush it over talking about your own sin. You know, Jesus says in Matthew chapter 5, blessed are they which through hunger and thirst after righteousness. Have you ever really thought about that scripture? Have you ever been really hungry or really thirsty? You say, well, I've been pretty hungry. But have you ever been to the point where that's all you could think about? You're just so thirsty, you're just so hungry. Now Jesus says, blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after doing what is right. How many times do we hung and pressed after doing what is wrong. We try to make another dollar off of somebody by not being truthful with them about something we're selling them. You know what I mean? You don't want to tell them about what the car will do in the wintertime, how the transmission will slip when it's cold, because you know you're not going to get as much fault. You know what you're doing? You're lying because you're not being truthful with them. But there is hunger and thirst after righteousness. Now back in the old Bible, in the book of Isaiah, I've written it on the board for you, and Isaiah says there in Isaiah chapter 32 and 17, "And the work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect or the results of righteousness, quietness and assurance forever." Isn't that beautiful? Work of righteousness. Doing works that are right. You ever get out in the garden in the springtime, we break up the soil, we lay out the rows, we put on the fertilizer, we put on the seed. It comes up, we side dress it, we plow out the weeds, we plow out the grass, and we work at it. And the effects and the results later on is what? Hopefully we're going to have a good garden. And we're going to get fruit from our labor. I'll say, okay, in the Christian realm, what do? We work, don't we? And we work to receive our reward. You know, Paul talked about 1 Corinthians 9. He said, our realm, that is uncertain. So fight I is not one that is one that beateth the air. But I keep under my body and bring it to subjection. Friends, that's one of the key verses in the Bible to me, is what Paul said about himself, what he does. I make myself do what is right. Okay? You ever do that? You see what's right? You see what's wrong? You make the right choice? I keep under my body. I say, Paul, this is right. This is what you are going to do. But Jesus said to God, he prayed to God, if it be some other way, let this cup pass from me. But not my will, but thine be done. Jesus was determined to do what was right, and he did what was right. But he asked God for another way. It was difficult for him. I think sometimes we don't think about that enough. It was hard for him. It was difficult. Oh, he was put to shame. Bible says he's fighting the shame. But he did what was right. Paul says, I make myself do what is right. And brethren, tonight I want you to think about this, having this blessed assurance. But to have this blessed assurance, you're going to have to do things that are right. Remember in the old Bible, it talks about a virtuous woman. And so many things of what we say have so much to do with our salvation, because Jesus says in Matthew 12, every idle word you speak, you shall give an account thereof on the day of judgment. Now that's frightening. Every idle word. Every idle word? You think he's going to forget some? Well, no, he's not going to forget them unless you got forgiveness for them. By thy words I shall be justified, and by thy words I shall be condemned. I remember preaching Brother Sam Hester's funeral. I don't know how many years ago that's been. But those of you that knew Brother Sam, he was a quiet man. Right. And I've often thought so much about that scripture, study to be quiet. So our words are so important. And the Bible says in Proverbs about a virtuous woman, she openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. When you open your mouth, is it with wisdom, and in your tongue is kindness there? Remember what I also said in Proverbs chapter 25? A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in pitchers of silver. Good words. A word fitly spoken. Words well chosen. So many people do not choose their words carefully. They say the wrong things. They don't say righteous things. Lot lived in such a city as that years ago. How people live. I saw how they lived and what they said and what went on in their lives. It was not righteous. It was not right. And so as you live your life down here, as you prepare for eternity, your life, if you have that blessed assurance, it must be righteous. The Bible has a lot to say about righteousness and about working righteousness. You might remember in the book of Acts, chapter 10, in verse 34, talking about Cornelius, which Cornelius was a Gentile, and Peter was having a problem accepting that he was and could be saved. He was having trouble with that he was at this time in a saved relationship, but he was going to be baptized. But Peter was having a problem with this, and he said that vision, you know, and then he was accepting it more and more. And so Peter speaks out in verse 34, of the truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but look at verse 35, but in every nation, he that feareth him or feareth God and walketh righteousness is accepted with him. Now here again we see the word about working righteousness. Do you work righteousness? How would you describe your life? Is it a work of righteousness? On your job, where you are, what do you get paid for? 8 hours? Maybe say they give me a 15-minute break in the morning, 15 in the afternoon, 7 and a half, okay. 7 minutes for lunch, okay. But 8 hours by and large, isn't it? You do your job? You don't steal from him. You don't steal from him, do you? You ever do that? You'll hear people steal, they don't pay you enough, or you need to get another job. What kind of worker are you on your job? What kind of student are you at school? Do you cheat? Do you take your test like you should? You don't let your eyes wander on other students' paper? What is your home life like? I remember reading a story one time about this guy who says, you know, preachers, if I come to the back door, I meet you, you meet me. I say, how are you? You say, fine, how are you? I say, fine. He said, but preacher, you just don't know what goes on in my house. Let me close up the door. We close the door. Close the doors. When we draw through these garbages, you know, we close it all in because you don't know what goes on in our house. Then there's anger. There's hate. There's harsh words. There's strife. There's confusion. He says, preacher, you just don't know. And I've wondered about that story. How many homes are just that way? Where righteousness is not there. But we go to church on Sunday, we smile and we speak and we have on our Sunday best and we say, oh, how I love Jesus. But are we really, really living a righteous life? Yeah. If we're not, we don't have that blessed assurance, do we? You remember reading, I got on the board too, back in 1 John 5 and 13, he says, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know, K-N-O-W, that you have eternal life. Can know. Okay, so tonight, you and I know, don't we? Hey, don't kid yourself. You know where you're headed. You know what your life is about. Okay? Okay? We know what our life is about. You know if Christ is first in your life. You know that, don't you? You know where you ought to be, but you know where He is, don't you? We know, and we can know that we have eternal life. Worketh righteousness. In Romans 14 and 17, he also talks about righteousness here. But the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, talking about eating the meat, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. So he mentions three things there. Two go along with what is righteous. It brings you what? What did he say back in Isaiah? It brings you peace. Here, it brings you joy when you do what is right. That's what it does to you. It affects your thinking. It affects your life. He also says the effect, the result of being righteous gives you quietness and assurance forever. And so as we do what is right, it brings us peace. We have this quietness. We have this assurance that we will be with Him forever. 1 Corinthians 15:34 says, "Awake to righteousness and sin not." Awake to it. Wake up to it. Here it is. It's in front of your face. It's here calling you to do what is right. He says, awake to it. And don't sin. See, life is about what? Decisions. That's right. Good decisions. Good choices. We want to make good choices. And so we awake to righteousness and we don't sin. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, I'm going to read you about six verses if you want to follow along with me. 1 Timothy 6, beginning at verse 6. I'll give you time. 1 Timothy 6 and verse 6. But godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into this world. It is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. Can we learn that? Can we learn that? You see those pictures that Harry and Danny sit back in Africa, or where they sit to have service? Did you see that? Did y'all see those pictures? And Brother Danny said last night, sometimes service is going, what, for 3 hours? And they're sitting on these little things. I'd be, you know, no backrest. Look at what look what you're sitting on. You know, I hear what a guy said one time, said, if our great grandparents could come back and see what we've got, they would marvel. He said, but he wasn't saying the architect, but they'd marvel even more to hear us complain about what we don't, what we haven't. And that's faith. Having faith in the land, let us be there with content. But then it will be rich, fall into temptation and a trap or snare, into many foolish and hurtful lusts. He don't say rich, he says they that want to be rich, which drown men in destruction and perdition. Perdition is utter loss or hell. He says if you want to be rich, it's a trap. It's going to drown you. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some cut it after they have erred in the faith, and pierce themselves, like with a sword, through with many sorrows. That's what it does to you. Look at what it says in verse 11. But thou, Timothy, O man of God, flee these things, and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness, fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life. That's what we're talking about tonight, having this blessed assurance that Paul is talking to Timothy here about. He says, certain things you've got to flee from, Timothy. Stay away from that. But you follow what is right. Doing what is right. He also says in 2 Timothy 2 and 22, to flee youthful lust, but follow righteousness. Youthful lust. Sexual lust. Follow what is right. Follow righteousness. Again, in Hebrews 12, verses 9 through 11. Hebrews 12, verses 9 through 11. He talks about here about being chastised for our wrongdoing. And he says in verse 9 of Hebrews 12, but all, we have had fathers of our flesh, we've had fathers in the flesh, which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. And we were talking tonight about that. Over at Adam's house, about how when we were young, we would get flippings, we call it. We would be corrected. And we gave them reverence. Shall we not much more rather be in subjection to the Father's spirits and live? For they die there, our fathers, for a few days chasten us after their own pleasure. But he for our profit, notice that, that we might be protected from his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness. So here again we see what is peace and what is right going together, okay? Because we hear what God's Word says, he corrects us, and it yields, like in the garden, what? The peaceable fruit of righteousness. See what he's saying? No, we won't see children corrected that need corrected, don't we? We need correction sometimes with adults. And if we allow that to be, like we read last night, that we will accept this, God's law, we can have within us righteousness, and it will bring us peace. You know, friends, you've got to live with yourself. You know that? Do you have something that bothers you? You just eat at your life, like inside. Something you've done, something you said, something you're doing, it's really bugging you. There's no peace. Because you know things aren't right. You ever go to take a test in school and the teacher says, pull up your books and get out your paper and get ready to take the exam and you know you didn't study? You know you're not ready. You got this like, it's in here somewhere. I don't know exactly where, but it's in there. And oh, how you wished you had. You wished you'd studied. You wished you hadn't played like you did. You know, when I was a kid, I loved to play as much as any kid ever been. I did. Oh, yeah. You ever have those kind of feelings about your life when things weren't right? You ever do that? You may be having it right now. There may be something going on in your life right now that you know things aren't right. But when it is right, you have what? You have peace within. Nobody can take it from you. Because you've done the right thing. And that's what it's talking about here. It yields the peaceable fruits of righteousness unto them that you exercise thereby. Thereby, if you will accept God's way, if you will accept his chastisement, he says, you will have the peaceable fruit of righteousness. See, friends, God not only gives us peace later, he gives us peace now. Oh, yes, he does. And we're going to talk about it a little bit later. Probably when you try to explain it. He did. About this peace. What is righteousness? You know what about that? Doing what is right. Remember what it said in Ephesians 6 and 1? Children, obey your parents in the Lord. For this is right. Okay? I'm going to read a story one time about this little boy. His mother was leaving. He's in the yard playing with his friends. And she said, now, son, when you hear that clock strike, and sometimes we got these clocks that strike on the hour. Back in the town I was in, you used to have a meal with them. But she said, when you hear the clock strike five, you go inside and get up your homework. Okay? Yes, ma'am. She goes on. Little boy's playing. And you know how the time flies when you're playing. I remember so well. Boy, when I lived in a little place called Jordanville, we had so many kids my age around me. I remember so well we played baseball. And so well when we had to go in. Oh, I wanted just one more in. Just one more. I want to play so bad. Some of the kids' mamas going to live around there. They're calling home. Come on, Joe. Come on, Don. You know, my mother called me. I have to go. You know what I mean? Well, this boy hears the clock strike five. And guess what? He doesn't want to go in. But he does. But he does. Because it's right. Mother said go in at 5 o'clock. He doesn't want to go in. But he knows it's right. Friends, we get an idea of what is righteous. Don't. Not what we want to do sometimes. But then it brings what? The fruit of peace. Of doing what God says. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Proverbs says, trust in God with all your heart. He will direct your path. Don't lean on your own understanding. Always know that God's way is best. Always know to follow his way. The Bible has so many advice for us about a righteous life. Proverbs says, a soft answer turneth away wrath. But grievous words stir up anger. You understand that? Somebody asks you softly, turns away wrath. But then one word leads to another. You can't wait till they get through, you can say something. You get louder and louder, don't you? That's right. But stop and do what Proverbs said. A soft answer turneth away wrath. Will your wife, like I said about his house, a soft answer turneth away anger, turneth away wrath. But you know what? He also says, all the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes. You know what the Bible says? It's so beautiful. And you say, that's exactly right. Because things we do, we clean it up in our mind. We want to feel good about ourselves, don't we? You ever do that? Sure. I've done it so many times. And I make excuses for it. All the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes. He also says in two places, just used to change in one word, there's the way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. It's the way that seems right to us, but the end are the ways of death. Proverbs 16:25 and 14:12, it changes one word, that, to which. The Bible tells about ways not to live. In Galatians chapter 6, Galatians 6 and verse 7, be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. He that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. And you are not going to get by. Just because you sin and you don't drop dead when you sin, you tell a lie and you don't drop dead when you tell that lie, you have not gotten by. If you sow to your flesh, you're going to reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Back in the church, forever, you shall have life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season, we shall reap if we faint not. Brothers and sisters and friends, we cannot faint. We cannot give up. We cannot give in. We cannot turn back. We must be like God if we live in this world as we live in this world today. It must vex our righteous soul to see sin and not get used to sin. Galatians 5 and 15. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. In the church, in your home, wherever you are, be careful what you say to each other. Don't take little bites out of each other. Try. Don't talk about yourself. Don't talk about your brother. How many times we're on the telephone? You know what somebody said to me Sunday? You know what somebody said last week? We take little nips out, don't we? We bite in the back. And brother, let me tell you what we may be consumed because of that. That's not a righteous life. That's not the way God wants us to live. In Philippians chapter 3, verse 18. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and I tell you even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ. Listen to what he says in verse 19. Whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly. Is that your God? Whose God is their belly. When it comes time to feed, you want to be right at the head of the line? Is that right? Want to be sure you get yours? You ever think about this? I think it goes deeper than this too. Whose God is their desire. Whose glory is in their shame. You know, have you done something back in your former life that is shameful? Have you? You like to tell it? You know that's a sin? That's wrong. That's a sin. That's wrong. You're glorying in your shame. What you should be ashamed of, you're bragging about. You've heard that, haven't you? You've heard people do that? They boast about what they did. Oh, when I was a kid, you know, we broke in the farmer's family watermelon patch and stole the watermelon. Well, it wasn't right. And don't tell it. No. Whose glory, the people, their glory is in their shame. Their glory is in their sin. That's what they glory, that's what they talk about. That's what they gloat about. Who mine earthly things. That's not righteousness. 1 Peter 3:10 says, he tells us how to live here. 1 Peter 3:10, he says, for he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, and as such as they speak no guile, let him eschew evil, or shun evil, and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord, Peter says, are over the righteous, and his ears open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. Again, Philippians 4, and verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men, the Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing. Don't worry, he says. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And then Paul says, this is what I was talking about earlier, the peace of God. And Paul, notice, he does not explain the peace of God. And the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now, friends, it's something that you cannot explain. He says, the peace of God, he says, it passes all understanding. Paul even said, I don't understand. I don't understand it. It passes all understanding. It's above all understanding. He says, it shall be with you. It shall keep you through Jesus Christ. And friends, that's what tonight we are talking about. Of doing what is right. And when you do what is right, you will have a peace you've never known before. And you can never know until you do what is right. And that's what Isaiah was talking about years ago. Right back here, what we're talking about tonight. The work of righteousness shall be peace. And the result of righteousness, quietness and assurance forever. And then we know that song, Blessed Assurance. You know, Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12, part B of chapter verse 12, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Paul said, I know who I put my trust in. I know who I believe in, what I've committed to him, and he will have that for me when judgment day dawns. I'm going to get my reward. That's what he says. And please let me tell you tonight, you can have the same reward. And what I said earlier about what he said to Timothy, I'm ready to be offered, time out of parchment in hand, to me is the crown of righteousness awaiting. But not to me only, but to all those that love his appearance. Would you love to see him come back tonight? Tonight, right here in Randolph County. Where you are tonight, right here. Would you love to see the Lord come back? Like I said, you know your life. You know if you work righteousness, and you know if you have not. You know also tonight, if you have this peace within you that passes understanding. The world don't understand this peace. They do not. It's not dependent on people or circumstances. No, it's not. It continues in the midst of the world's and the life's worst troubles. It goes on. It continues when fair weather friends turn their back on you. It continues on when all prospects that look so good now look so bleak and so dreadful. You can't analyze it. You can't understand it. But you can know it. And you can know it and you can have it. It's yours. And it's mine. It's given up from our Lord. In 1 John chapter 3 and verse 20. 1 John 3. In verse 20. And John says, if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. I'll ask you something. How much confidence do you have toward God? You feel in a picture? I've got all the confidence in the world and God's what God can do. He's not talking about that right here. He's talking about if your life is doing what it should, you feel good about God sending Jesus Christ back and you're going to be saved. That's what he's talking about. You have this confidence. And you have that song we sung tonight, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine. You have it because your deeds are righteous. How about it tonight? Are you ready to meet your Lord? Why not tonight? Why don't you come tonight to be baptized? Why don't you come tonight believing on Jesus Christ, confessing your belief publicly by saying, I believe that Jesus Christ is God's Son, repenting of your sins, being baptized tonight. And you can have it, you can know that peace that passes understanding. And you can spend your days on this earth in the service of God and ready to meet Him when He comes back. You Christian friends here tonight, and I say most of us are, if your life has not been what it should be, why don't you come back tonight and make it right? Why don't you come back tonight and confess your faults? Ask for forgiveness. Have you ever done that? You know, remember what James says about that? Confess your faults one to the other and pray one for the other. In all your life, have you ever done that? You've never done that? You've never confessed your faults? You know, it's hard to admit being wrong, isn't it? It's hard to admit being wrong. It's hard to ask somebody to pray for you that I've been wrong, I've sinned, I've fallen short. You know how many times in the Bible those words are? I have sinned. Does it say it like that? Like David said, I have sinned. People just openly admit their sins 9 times. Try. You know, Jesus said it. Oh, he did. I sinned that I betrayed the innocent blood. But not many people say it, do they? Confess your faults, Daniel says. Why don't you come tonight? Confessing your faults, asking for forgiveness and prayer as we stand and as we sing.